This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. There's encouraging news today about jobs in Massachusetts. According to the Office of Labor and Workforce Development, the state unemployment rate dropped to 6.5% last month, which means Massachusetts has now regained all of the jobs lost in the recession.
The state jobless rate is a full point below the national rate, which fell to a four-year low of 7.7%. So that's the good news. The bad news is there's still lots of Bay Staters out of work, and the divide between available jobs and the people with the skills to fill them is growing.
And consider this number, $66,000 a year. That's what it takes for a single parent with two kids to cover the basic needs in Massachusetts, including housing, childcare, food, and fuel. And for someone without a four-year college degree, it's more difficult than ever to earn that.
That number comes from one of two reports released today by the Crittenden Women's Union, a nonprofit that advocates for low-income women and families in Massachusetts. It says the growing gap between skills and jobs is shrinking the middle class and causing more people to fall into poverty. Deborah Youngblood co-authored the reports, and she joins us now. And thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
So pleased to be here.
So at first blush, it seems like there's a bit of a paradox here because the overall job numbers, as we just reported, are improving. We regained the number of jobs lost during the recession, but there's this growing skills gap challenge for many in the state. So describe what's going on.
Sure. So what we see in Massachusetts, which really mirrors what we see across the country, is that the jobs that pay a family sustaining wage really require higher education. Mm-hmm. So it used to be that you could have a high school diploma and there were jobs that were available for you that would be able to allow you to support your family and make ends meet. That's no longer the case, and it's changing very rapidly. So 6 years ago when we put out our hot jobs report, half of the jobs on that hot jobs list required only a high school diploma. Now there's not a single job on the list that doesn't require at least some post-secondary.
Not a single job, and we're going to get to that hot jobs report, but let me just ask you about that figure that we mentioned, that Meghna and I mentioned in the introduction.
Sure.
A single parent with kids needs $65,880 a year to cover basic needs.
Yep.
Now, once upon a time, a salary like that would have provided a pretty solid middle-class existence for a family. So what's changed? What's the largest expense that single parents are facing?
Well, if you're a parent with children under the age of 13, your largest budgetary expense is childcare. Childcare takes up 30% of a family of three's budget when you have one parent and two children. Mm. So that's one of the big levers that we see here, and that cost has gone up.
And continues to go up. And put that $65,880 into perspective. So that's what a family of three needs to cover its basic needs. What's the median income for a family of three?
So for single mothers across Massachusetts, the median income is $27,000 a year. So there's a large gap there. If you look at our minimum wage here in Massachusetts, which is $8 an hour, you know, you'd need four minimum wage jobs working full time at them if you were going to try to make ends meet.
Now, another apparent, or it seems at first like a paradox that you point to in these reports, Massachusetts has the highest rate of adults with a bachelor's degree, more than 40%, second only to Washington, D.C. On the one hand, that's great news because more and more jobs require college degrees. But you report that there's a downside to that oversupply of college-educated workers. Right?
Absolutely. If you live in an area where you have such a preponderance of people with college degrees and you don't have one, you actually are at a greater disadvantage. What we see in Massachusetts is that employers, especially in a slow economy, employers will hire people with college credentials even for jobs that don't technically require those college credentials because they can, because there are candidates that are interested and want those positions. So for our more modestly educated people across the Commonwealth, their opportunities become increasingly limited, and there's this kind of downward pull.
Now, one of the two reports you released today is entitled Hot Jobs 2013, which you mentioned earlier, and among other things, it identifies those jobs and employment sectors that allow families to meet that minimum income needed to cover their basic needs. So give us a sense of what those jobs are.
Sure.
Where they are.
Sure. Well, you know, they're varied. You know, some of the examples that we see in the hot jobs list are things like, you know, property managers, dental hygienists, correctional officers. So you know, there's numerous industries. What we look for when we do the labor market analysis for hot jobs is, do these jobs take only 2 years or less? Are they attainable? So they take just 2 years or less of post-secondary education. We want them to be in high demand so that if you invest that time in the education and training, you'll actually get a job at the other end. And then we demand that they pay a family-sustaining wage to,
so on the top
to make
of the
it
list,
on the list.
So on the top of the list, for example, administrative services managers, it pays $117,000 a year. That's a pretty good salary.
Exactly.
Property, real estate, and community association managers. Still up in the mid-90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And what about for folks who don't have that post-secondary education to get these jobs? You've listed another set of jobs called smart start jobs,
yes,
which get an employee at least partway toward that needed salary.
Right. So that's actually new. We've been putting out the report for quite a while, but that's actually new this year. And it's really that we recognized and we heard from our partners across the state that, you know, for some people, hot jobs just still feel a little bit out of reach. And we want to get people on the right track, on the track towards economic independence. So smart start jobs have a lower salary, but they get you over halfway towards a family-sustaining wage, and they have employee benefits. They're in industries with high rates of employee benefits, so, you know, that's really important for family stability. And you see many of them still require some post-secondary education, but you see much greater preponderance of people with more modest levels of education in them. So they're easier to get.
And we've got a list of what these jobs are because we've linked to your report at radioboston.org. Deborah, let me ask you finally this. To address this growing gap between jobs and skills and education needed to get those jobs, what do you recommend in terms of specific policy proposals to help?
Yeah. Well, we really focus at Crittenton Women's Union a lot on access and success in education. We know that in Massachusetts, if you are going to be able to support your family without government assistance, you are going to need to have some post-secondary education. And so we look for investments in programs that not only prepare people to be successful in college, provide access to them, and then support them along the way so that you don't have someone start an education program and not be able to complete it and get the credential at the other end.
Mm-hmm. All right. Deborah Youngblood, she's a vice president with the Crittenden Women's Union, which released a pair of reports today about the cost of living and jobs in Massachusetts. You can find links to both of them at radioboston.org. And Deborah Youngblood, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Well, up next, 40 Roles, One Actor. It's a new play about race in post-racial America. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.